is we're in the book of Psalms. It's number 62, the 62nd Psalm. And it says here, truly my soul is silently waits for God. From him comes my salvation. He only, that's our subject for this morning. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's the only one that I can look to. He's the only one that I can trust in. That's what the psalmist is saying. As I was thinking about leaving Nigeria this week, I left on Thursday morning. And so Wednesday night I had some thoughts. But I was very encouraged by this word I saw in Acts chapter 20. And I just posted something on it small that's on my page. But the Apostle Paul is going into Jerusalem. He thinks he may be killed there. He knows that he's going to have to suffer there. So he's leaving these people that he has been ministering to for up to 2 years there. I'm in the region of Ephesus. And he leaves them with this statement, Acts 20, verse number 32. So now, brethren, I commend you to God. I'm putting you in God's hands. That is safe hands. As I leave Nigeria after five years, the people who have trusted in God, I am leaving them in the hands of God. And I don't feel like I'm departing and I'm neglecting them. I am no Apostle Paul. And when he preached and when he left, is he saying, I'm leaving you in the hands of God. And what the psalmist is saying is that you only are my hope and strength anyway. You've all I got. And as I've been reading this book of Psalms again and afresh, I'm seeing how God and the pursuit of God, it was on Davis and the psalmist's heart that they were pursuing after him, his person, enjoying him, his presence. Not ministry, him. Not the world, him. Not Christianity, him. Not under be posting, him. Not to be discipling him. I'm pursuing him. And all the good things come out of that. I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, that's his gospel, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified, by faith in Christ Jesus. I'm commending you unto God. And when that Ethiopian eunuch left, after only hearing on the gospel one time, he didn't go back into Jerusalem. He went into Ethiopia and he spread the gospel, and it was sufficient, it was enough that he had God. And if I was in prison and I'm preaching, and I preach only one time, but a prisoner there hears this word of God and his grace and is confident that he will build this person up, he, our God, will build this person up, then that prisoner has been left with everything he needs to grow in godliness, and God may, through the trials, make him a stronger Christian than me and you out here. Our God is enough. And that's what the psalmist is saying. He only, I don't have anybody else. I don't have plan B. There is nothing that can satisfy my soul. There is nothing that can satisfy your soul. There is no one on this earth but God. And because everything here is transitory, that means it ends. It comes to an end sometime. Death takes things away, takes everything away. If I'm beautiful, if I'm handsome, I age, I get old, I die. If I have strength, I deteriorate. I get old. It's all vanity of vanity. Everything in the world, even the best relationship in the world, comes to an end. The best marriage comes to an end. All is vanity. That's what Solomon said. He only can satisfy my soul. He's the only one that can get down into our heart, into the deepest places, and can satisfy our soul and satisfy our longing and bring us contentment and bring us joy that is bubbling over. He satisfies the deepest places of the soul, and nothing else can do that. Making money cannot do that. Having friends, being esteemed, being successful, having a lot of floss, and being the boss that can't satisfy is just the love of the world. Having children can't satisfy. Having husband, wife can't satisfy. Having big job, big house can't satisfy. Not if you're a child of God, especially. You and I have been created, have been recreated in the new birth to be satisfied with God. And those people who are satisfied with this world are on their way to hell. Me and you are satisfied with God only. Is I will not seek after ministry. I will not seek after preaching. I don't care about preaching in that way. I care about God. And he makes me and you preach the blessed gospel. Preaching is an extension of the gospel in power in the heart. I cannot be satisfied with preaching. That's the swine's husk of religion, even if I'm preaching the truth. I need God inside my soul. Christianity is preeminently a pursuit of God. I'm either enjoying him or I'm pursuing him. Either his power is in my heart with joy, or I'm like Christ that is crying out upon the cross, "My God, as to why have you forsaken me?" He was pursuing God all the while he obeyed God on that cross. He never left God. He never turned his way. His heart, it was always after God. "Only you can satisfy me. You're all I want. You're everything unto me. Let me do this in the salvation of my people." But Christianity is God in the soul. It's not religion. It's the life of God in the soul that produces religious activity, amen, that is pleasing unto God. Christianity is the attainment of God himself. So that I can go out and you can go out and live this Christian life. It's not living off the swine's husk of religion. It's not living off of the joylessness. It's not living off of the powerlessness. It's the pursuit of some person, a singular person in the heavens that satisfies our soul. He is the fountain of living waters that makes us to thirst no more. He's the bread of life that satisfies our soul. If we eat his flesh, we drink his blood. That's how we live. As I was reading through the Song of Solomon in December, I was on vacation. I had some time to be alone and to really meditate. And I saw in the Song of Solomon, "Your love is better than wine. Your love is better than everything that's in this world, including ministry." And it was so instructive unto me that I had forgotten about God as I'm ministering the gospel. And trials and temptations come in to take away God from our souls. And it's one of those temptations, saints, is worldliness. As you get an opportunity, as you get a better job, you have a chance to make some big money, if you have children, if you have a ministry that is successful and popping, it's easy to forget about God. But that's why he teaches us, it's in the book of James in chapter number 1. That temptation is good for our soul. In a sense, as we pray, lead us not into temptation. Don't let me be tempted by this world. But in another sense, is when this temptation comes to depart from God, to love the world, it's the gospel is being challenged in our soul. It's not being challenged intellectually. I know it's true. And you know it's true. And there's no argument of the truth of the gospel. Is we can see it in our brains, believe it, but that doesn't mean that I know it in my heart with power. This is what we want. Power, heart religion. Me and you want to be able to commune with God at any time in a clean conscience. Me and you want to be able to... I want nearness. I want joy. I want fellowship. King David said, this one thing that I desire is to be in your presence. It's you. That is right religion. Either we have God or me and you are pursuing God. And everything else, it's backsliding. It's coldness of heart. It is worldliness. But our brother James, he says this in chapter 1, verse number 2 through 4. It's these 12 tribes that have been scattered. They're under trials. They're under persecution. They're under burden. Is my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations, knowing that the testing of your faith, even with worldliness, it produces patience, endurance. It makes you stronger, like a long distance race runner. As he pushes himself, he presses so he can be stronger for the day of battle. But let endurance have its perfect work. There's a reason I'm being tried, that you may be mature or perfect and complete, that you lack nothing, that you grow, that you gain from that trial the things that are needed in your soul to strengthen you in God. So when me and you are discouraged, and when me and you are tempted, this is point number 2. Let's go back to our psalm, let's not give up hope. Let's look to God alone. That's what David did. He didn't look unto his riches, his wealth, his kingdom, his soldiers, his armies, his women, his pride, his self. He looked unto God, only unto God. He's a man after God's heart. With everything else in this world he has, he says, I only have you. That's what God wants from each of us. If I'm pursuing him as the only thing that matters, the only thing I have, I could have 100 children, I could have a nice job, I could be a multi-billion, but the only thing I have is you. That's a man whose heart, that's a woman whose heart is going to be filled with God. And that's going to make us enjoy the rest of this life. That's going to make us serve God. That's going to make us be obedient. Because in the pursuit of God is purging. He is confessing his sins if he is pursuing God. In the obtaining of God, it's purging, it's sanctifying, it's purifying, it's cleansing. It fills our hearts with joy, with love and ambition. This thing is all about God. It's not about a religion in the head. It's not about Calvinism is here in here. It's Calvinism in here. that makes us live out here. But it's got to get in here if I'm going to live here. It's got to get in here first. It's got to go from here into here so I'm filled with passion, so I'm with God. Now, if I don't have passion, if I'm cold in heart, that's why I'm pursuing God. I'm not just going to live in this folly. I'm not just going to walk in this funk. I'm not just going to be absent of God and just have a word only and a talk a religion as my heart is far from Him. That's not what you and I want. If we don't want our hearts over here and then our mouth and our brain are over here. I want my heart with God. I want heart religion. Is I want to feel or I want to be pursuing, and I want to believe at all times. He is my defense, is I shall not be greatly moved. But let's look at verse number 3 and 4 from Psalm number 62. How long will you attack a man? My enemies, my foes, my flesh. You shall be slain, all of you. This flesh shall be put down. The enemies of the gospel inside my soul shall be subdued by the might and power of God. He has confidence. Like a leaning wall and a tottering fence, they only consult to cast him down from his high position. They are not true religion. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but curse inwardly. You and I don't want a heart that's all talk with God. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter number 33, look what the Lord says here. Is we don't want just mere mouth. That's frightening. I don't know if I'm going to weep tears. I am trying not to, but that is frightening. Heart-only religion that gets into the hands, the mouth, the actions, that's true religion. It's pure. But mouth-only religion that isn't in the heart, that's very dangerous. It's very deceitful. It's hypocritical. I can pretend I love God, but do I feel it? Do I love God? Do I obey Him from the heart? Or is my heart elsewhere, but I got to do the preaching? It is what's expected of me. I have to do my sermon. Hush, 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 hush. Hurry, 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 my sermon. But my heart is over here. Oh, that's a curse unto me. It's the worst thing that could happen unto me and you, is our heart not to be in this religion, our heart not to be sincere. That's why we need God. And if we pray to Him and ask Him, He'll come to us, He'll heal us. If we confess our sins, He'll forgive us, He's faithful, just. He will give us Himself. But if we don't seek it, if we don't seek Him, is we're going to have heart religion sometimes at best, but me and you, we want it all the time. Is Ezekiel chapter number 33, is the Lord God says this. Verse number 30, please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord. Verse number 31, so they come to you as people do. Well, they love to hear R.C. Sproul. I love to hear Steve Lawson. They love to quote Calvin. They sit before you as my people do. They claim to be the people of God. They claim to know sound doctrine. They claim to believe and to be solid believers in God's sovereign grace. They're sovereign grace people with their mouth. They talk so much. And they hear your words. They hear the true gospel. They are not listening to a false prophet. They're listening to Ezekiel. He's the man of God at that day. He's speaking with power. They hear your words, but they do not do them. It's not in their heart to obey. Is they say, nice Herman preacher. Oh, I love to see R.C. Sproul's preaching. Oh, I love his sermons. But is it in your heart to obey? For with their mouth they show much love. Oh, I love this gospel of sovereign grace. But their hearts pursue their own gain. They live for themselves. And you and I will live for ourselves if it's not in here. If I let something else get in here and crowd out my heart, I'm gone from God. And He has to bring me back. And that's what this prayer is all about. It's a confession. I can confess my sins. I can tell God I'm wrong. I can tell Him I'm a stranger under grace. I'm cold-hearted. I'm worldly. I'm loving the world. I'm seeking after things of this world to satisfy my soul. I'm drifting away. That's why we pray unto Him. That's why me and you have access through prayer. He knows He must do everything. He knows He must heat the kitchen or there'll be no cooking. He's the stove, He's the oven, He's the wood, He's the fire. He knows. But I want to be a burning and a shining lamp. Not just shining with light, not just filled with knowledge, but heart passion and love. Love. That's what makes me and you obey God. If you love me, He says, then obey me. If I love Him, I'll do His will from in here. But if I don't love Him, I'll just act like it while I love something or somebody else. It's heart religion. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice. You're preaching the gospel of grace quite well. I can play well on an instrument. Or they hear your words, but they do not do them. That's why we have no passion or missions. All the gospel we've heard, we have so little passion to do anything but post on Facebook. As I go places, I was speaking with Pastor Enoch here. I'm in Accra, Ghana. I've been treated very well. It's very nice here. We've had light and nice weather and just all kinds of things that I'm just not accustomed to all this quiet, and it's been nice, and the lack of aggression. It's been nice. I have loved my time in Nigeria. I'd say every minute of it. I don't know of a single minute of it that I did not love or regret being there. But it's nice being here also. Brother George, you're actually from Ghana, and so you know. But I meet people who, I don't even meet them. As I say, I'm in your town, I'm going to be preaching, we're holding a seminar, I'd be happy to see you. And they say, I don't have time. But you're posting on Facebook each and every day. Yeah, but I don't have time to meet with you and to hear the gospel. And so are you attending a church as to where the gospel's preached? No. So if we're here unto meet people, to plant, to explore if the gospel can be preached in this community, and if you know Christ, if you need to come and encourage somebody else, and you need to find somebody else that you can be in contact with over the gospel. Is there any center that's in the building and you can take their telephone number and you can stay in touch and they're interested in the gospel message? I don't have time. I'm busy. They love me with their mouth. Their heart is far from me. But Psalms number 62, verse number 5-6. Look what he says. He's pursuing after God. My soul waits silently for God alone. I'm not taking plan B. I'm not taking anything else for an answer. I'm not pursuing anything else. I'm not satisfied with anything else. You could give me all of this world, King David says. I want God alone. I'm going to put this on the side. I'm pursuing after you. You can give me a brand new wife. I'm not going to let her take my heart. She cannot have my heart. She cannot have it. My heart belongs unto you. And you will fill my heart with love and joy so I can love my wife and my children. I'm not giving in to idolatry. I'm not going to love God with my mouth only. I'm not just going to talk. I'm going to feel passion for the Son of God. I'm going to burn for Him. I'm going to do His will from the inside out. It's not going to be talk and show. My religion, King David said, is not going to be fake. There may be fake things about me, like I paint my whiskers black, or you ladies, you got the eyelashes or the long. That may be fake, but not our religion, not our heart. If our heart is fake, we're hypocrites. Only God can heal that, and He'll do it. My soul waits silently for God alone. I'm not going to give up, for my expectation is from Him. I'm trusting Him. Look what He says. He only is my rock and my salvation. I don't have anybody else. I don't have plan B. How about you? I am getting Christ or I die. That's what He's saying. That's what our sister Rachel said. Give me children or I die. That's what Brother Jacob said. I will not let you go. I won't take no for an answer on this, God. I've got to have you. I'm a nuisance at the throne of grace. I'm going to be at your door knocking and moaning and griping and begging until you give me yourself. That's the person who gets God. Ask. It'll be given. Seek. Is you'll find. Knock. It shall be open. He only is my rock and salvation. He's my defense. He's my protection from sin and the enemy of Satan and the love of this world. He's my safety. He's the only joy I can have that's filled with safety. If I enjoy anything else and I don't have Him first in my heart, I'm in an unsafe place. But if I'm enjoying Him, I can enjoy the many things that He gives me in you. I'm in safety. He's my protection. He's my defense. Look what He says. I shall not be moved. Now, look at the assurance of this brother David. He does not have the thing he wants to possess, but he does have it. He's assured he has God. He's assured that God is faithful. He's assured that God would hear him, even if he is afar off. If you ever come unto God with a cold heart, and you confess it, my heart loves God, hates you by nature. Lord, help me. You can be assured the Lord God will help you. In God is my salvation and my glory. Confidence, assurance, boldness. It does us no good to doubt God's promises and His faithfulness just because our hearts are cold. He's still faithful. He's still the same. He still loves us. I might not have Him with joy, but He's going to come help me. He's faithful. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He's my hiding place from the troubles of this world, the troubles of myself, the emptiness of myself, despair, and God. and my godlessness. He's my refuge from everything. He's the only help, but he's a sufficient help. Trust in him at all times, O you people. Trust him always, every situation, no matter how you feel or what you've done. Sin may tempt you to despair. Let trust in Christ conquer it. Temptation, it may tell you, I'm going to swallow you up. Trust in Christ and conquer it. Trust in him at all times, every season, every situation. Don't ever lose faith just because your heart is cold or you've sinned. Pour out your heart. Here's what is to be done. Pour out your heart before him. God's a refuge. Pour it out. Pour it out. This may sound gross, but sometimes even like vomit, we just have to pour out our heart, our sins, our fears. We just have to expel our guts. Just everything inside of us we're scared of. We're doing wrong. We've been tempted with. I've been trying. Satan wants to keep us alone. He wants us on our own, in our self-strength. He wants us trying to serve God ourselves. As I saw a quote this morning, and the brother said this, that Satan sends us to the law to justify ourselves in the sight of God. And that can't be done. Because God sent the holy law to show us our sin. Satan, he never sends us unto the gospel. He never tells us to get God's help. He wants us alone, struggling in our sin, struggling with our sin, and trying to overcome it ourselves. Because God works through faith. And what God is saying is, I'm going to do everything. And I know that I've got to do everything. But you got to come unto me. You got to learn to come to me by faith. You got to learn to look to me by faith. If we ever look to God in our preaching instead of ourselves, our preaching would conquer this world as the waters overflow the seas. There'd be so much power from God if we looked to God. It's not Spurgeon, it's the God that worked in Spurgeon. He's a brilliant man. As brilliant as any, but there were many brilliant men that God used. But there are brilliant men now. It's not the brilliance. It's the God inside the soul. It's the God that's being trusted in prayer. It's getting God in on the activity. I was thinking about a person I was praying for. And despair sets in, like, you can't save this person. This person can't be saved. It's too far reached. They're just too far gone. They're just too ignorant spiritually. They've heard, and they've been ignorant all these years, and they can't see it, and they can't believe it. And so coldness starts to set in prayer and doubt. But then I started thinking about God. The amazing power of God. How he created this universe that has 500 billion galaxies. In our galaxy, there are a trillion stars in our galaxy. And our sun, S-U-N, is only one star. They have searched north, south, east, and west. And the universe is completely limitless. They've never seen the edge. They've sent out the Hubble spacecraft and telegraph. They have never seen the edge of God's creation. And he calls it a work of his fingers. And he did it like that. He spoke it. It came to pass. And it did not take billions of years for the light to shine on Earth. It shined instantly. His power is infinite. Let's pray unto God who can help people. Let us pour out our heart ourselves. Let's tell him all about it. Keep no secrets. Pour out your heart to God. Tell him how weak you are, how helpless, how tempted, how loving the world is natural unto your flesh and it's trying to overcome you. How your heart is over here and it needs to be here. And how you're cold and empty and you need God. Tell him about it. Don't try to fix yourself. That's what the devil wants us to do. He wants us to fix ourselves. And we never get fixed. We don't have the help. We don't have the strength. But you look to him above. As you look to Christ and you look to God being able to bless you and me for Christ's sake. Because Christ died and because Christ, he took away our sin with his blood. That's what enables God to be gracious unto the sinner and unto the saint who need his help. And he's willing to help us. And he is so faithful. So pour out your heart. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of low degree are a vapor, men of high degree, verse 9, are a lie. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. The help of man is meaningless, it's nothing. Even the preacher can only point you to God. Oh, preacher, have you seen God? Have you seen whom my soul loves? I'm listening unto you to get to him. It's not you I'm after, it's him. I want him, preacher. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in robbery. If riches increase, if the Lord blesses you, do not set your heart on them. It isn't about stuff. He's not opposed to us having stuff, husbands, wives, children, and money, and jobs, and health, and friends, and hobbies, and joys in this world. He's not a stingy God, but he doesn't want us to set our heart on them, and to love them, and to forget about him, the giver. So, if you're patient, if you have something that is really blessing you, that is really drawing your heart away, bring it unto God to put it in the right place. And he'll either take it away or he'll bless it more abundantly with a clean conscience. Oh, God has spoken once, twice I've heard this, that power, it belongs unto who? Unto God. Also to you, O Lord, it belongs mercy, for you render to each one according to his work. If you seek God, is you get God. If you seek the world, then you get worldliness. You might not even get this world, you probably won't, but you'll get worldliness. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. Oh, he's a refuge for us. So trust him, put your heart and your life into his hands, and come to him empty-handed and say, Lord, I need you. I'll be satisfied with you. Nothing else in this world will satisfy me. I've got to have you and you only. And when I have you, I have everything. God loves to hear that kind of prayer. And the Lord bless you for our Lord Jesus Christ's sake. He will answer just as assuredly as the day I was born, it was a baby boy. He will answer. He'll heal our hearts. And he'll give us Christ Jesus from the inside. and we'll live our Christian life from in here instead of from in here only. The Lord bless you. Amen.